rapper Jebediah Freeman had sworn a lifetime intifada against the movie theater industry for exorbitant prices and poor customer service, which, interestingly enough, did not stop him from going to see movies.
Okay, gang, keep your eyes open.
Open for what?
We're sneaking in.
That's not true, little baby. I bought my tickets online. Scouts honor.
Look, Granddad, I got some money saved. The movie will be on me.
Now you put that away, boy. These movie devils ain't getting any more of our money.
Welcome into episode 3 of No Front Row Seats Podcast. We will be talking about the most anticipated returning HBO show, maybe of all time, Game of Thrones.
All right, I'm Turbo City. I am your co-host. I love movies, I love music, and I love nice spirits.
The fanatic of all things entertainment, and of course, beer, and like Turbo City said, spirits. In this episode, we're going to celebrate the return, finally, the return of Game of Thrones. I don't know what took so long. Maybe George R.R. Martin had to have a colonoscopy, but nevertheless, we are happy to have this first episode back. We're not going to break down the episode. We're not going to spoil anything on this one. We are just going to celebrate TV history.
Okay, definitely, definitely. Now, Game of Thrones is one of the best television shows going on right now. Now, HBO has really done a good job with these. It's been kind of admirable how they've been able to keep you enthralled for the whole full... What season is this?
This is season 7.
Okay. And I've been here for all of them.
I have been done with Game of Thrones. I know. I mentioned it to you. You got so excited. I got another friend. Shout out to BG. This guy is in so love. He loves Game of Thrones so much, it almost makes me feel like I hate it. I'm this way when it comes to these projection dates, when it comes to film, TV, or whatever you're waiting for. The anticipation, like, kills me. I'm the type of guy, when I was a little kid, like, my first field trip was to the zoo. I ended up being up all night because I just couldn't wait. I get too amped up. And so, when you tell me I got to wait almost 2 years for the next season, that bothers me. So, I had lost a lot of love for Game of Thrones. But, I mean, honestly, it all came back, especially with the way it started out, which we're not going to get into the full review of the first episode, but we're going to raise some questions about Game of Thrones, and mine will be answered by that scene. So, but yeah, I was excited once it was back, but I have fell out the love loss. I didn't even want to discuss it with people. People were like, oh, Game of Thrones is my favorite show. I would shun them and literally not talk to them and say, hey, I'm going to the bar to get another drink.
Well, see, how you felt about Game of Thrones is how I feel about Walking Dead. Like, I've kind of been done with that shit for a long time, but this Game of Thrones has definitely kept my interest. The characters and the way that they're able to tell so many different stories at once. I will say this, the way that it started, without giving out any spoilers, was excellent. It was excellent. Immediately captured me right again, and put me in a place where I'm like, okay, I'm ready for this season. See, we had talked about in earlier episodes about how TV shows sometimes have too many episodes, like the CW shows. Now, 22 episodes, okay, but this one, I would love to see 22 episodes of. But
We never get that. Nah. My girl Iris on The Flash has to get paid, by the way, so I'm sorry.
Okay, all right.
Sister needs her money.
What is your favorite arc of Game of Thrones?
We talk favorite arc. We say arc. It begins and ends with Arya Stark.
Yes.
I mean.
Yes.
The thing that really, like, hurts is that I guess in the books, we were kind of talking off pod, off cast about, you know, whether or not I read the books. I have not read the books, but I know that there is a book in the series of the series by George R.R. Martin that focuses on the Arya Stark and Tyrion Lannister storyline. Like, literally, it's just dedicated to their two, like, kind of journey, and that's when she kind of deals with the many-faced god and all that kind of stuff. her character, it just makes me feel the story, just so if you have not seen Game of Thrones, it kind of starts out with a family. One son is a bastard, but they are still a family, mother, father. They are well-to-do in the old medieval kind of hierarchy settings of like maybe a duke and duchess. They are the king and queen of the north, but they don't take that title. But they, like, you know, run the north part of the countryside of where they live at, with the south having a different person. The central area is, like, you know, it's called the Seven Kingdoms, basically, and the north is one of the seven. Yada, yada, yada. The coolest thing about him, he gives all his kids wolves, dire wolves. And from there, I was sucked into the story. But like Turbo City was trying to describe, when I say Seven Kingdoms, so then you have multiple storylines. So think it's, you know, multiple storylines from all those different areas. And they all are interwoven. It's not like a Quentin Tarantino or Memento type of thing where you're jumping all around. But you are kind of, you know, whisked from here to there. And over the last six seasons, is something that has been very compelling and very entertaining to watch.
So, who's been your favorite character?
Arya Stark.
Okay.
Arya Stark. Arya Stark, she's the daughter of Ned, the youngest. She's the middle. She would be the middle, yeah. She's the middle, because then there's Bran, and then there's the other one that died, yeah. Spoiler alert. Yeah, she's the middle child, and maybe I'm an only child, so that has no correlation why I connect with her. I don't know. Her story is just so cool. You know, it's easy for a lot of people to probably say Daenerys Targaryen or Jon Snow. But the other person that I would have to say the storyline that I enjoy so much is Samuel Tully. So, you know what I mean? Those are the two characters that I wish they had more time, and they spent more time over the last six seasons developing.
Well, I gotta say, my favorite character arc of this is Lil Lord. And that's because his existence, even in this world, is improbable. The only reason why he's gotten as far as he's gotten is because of his lineage. It's because of the family he was born into. But you've got to really empathize with the idea of a little person in that time where it was just all about survival of the fittest.
A side note about Peter Dinklage, it's a great video like kind of floating around the net right now. He plays Tyrion Lannister. He left his job as a data processor at like 28 or like whatever the age was. He was actually given a commencement speech at a smaller college. It wasn't even like a bigger college, but it was just a cool thing, like with the video playing in the background. They kind of had some of the scenes of his first acting jobs, and he just basically told himself he didn't want to do what he didn't want to do anymore. He wanted to be an actor, and you know, he got his first paycheck and said, I'm an actor, and this is what I'm gonna do for the rest of my life. Yada, yada, yada. Found roles. I mean, I think his role in Elf, actually, he didn't find the roles that most people as a little person, you know, would be exploited in. He found roles that he was able to act in, and I think this is the greatest one, even though they use that, you know, thing in the storyline. But like you said, his role, even though small in stature, when it comes to his appearance, is actually bigger in the storyline. He has the biggest impact in the storyline.
Well, I think the main thing that has to do with that is his intelligence. And I love how they play on that and they showcase that. He knows exactly what to do. He knows exactly what's going on. He is all about self-perseverance because he's had to be for his whole life. That is a great storyline for anybody who feels that they've been discounted for the way that they look or any other reasons. Now,
he has his faults too, though. I mean, he loves the ladies.
No, and he loves the wine. But nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. But where it counts, though, is his mental ability.
Yeah, no, it's funny you mention that because it's a fictional world, so it's not like the Art of War or like he had like Sun Tzu or something like that. He learned from his father and, you know, of course, Jaime Lannister as well, but he has traversed this world. And so, like, I mentioned that one book that is in the series, like, and that's what I am going to read, read the whole series, because that book to me is worth getting to whenever it is in that series. Just the storyline of Arya and him to figure out more detail. That's the great thing about reading books, even if you enjoy the movie or something, and it's post, you know, you watching it, you can still go back and flesh out those characters even more. And that's the one thing I think that a lot of people enjoy about Game of Thrones. Even though it moves around a lot like you described when you started talking about it, you still feel like you get to know the characters enough and those characters are developed.
So now, where does it rank in terms of HBO shows?
So I kind of got to separate this out a little bit. I was looking at the list and whatnot. I love HBO, first of all. It's, first of all, it never will touch real sex. No, I'm just joking. But, for a young man trying to explore. No, you understand. I mean, The Wire, The Sopranos. I've seen a lot of people say Game of Thrones is better than The Sopranos. I'm a big fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm when it comes to HBO shows.
That's classic, though.
I actually really enjoy Veep, too. Shout out to Julie Louise
Dreyfus. Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, I love Veep. I love Veep.
Besides what you think about Mark Wahlberg and his views on race, I love Entourage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can keep Entourage.
Even the newcomer Westworld, Deadwood. But the one that meets in there with Boardwalk Empire, to me. So, like, those are the HBO shows I think of. So, but I will say, like, Game of Thrones, not knowing how it ends right now. We know how the other ones ends, and I think... So, like, I think it's, like, maybe, arguably, be The Wire, Sopranos, then Game of Thrones, maybe. Maybe Game of Thrones, depending on the ending, can overjump a rock song to end in a diner. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, so...
Yeah, Sopranos ended horribly.
Definitely. I actually like the ending, but...
You know, I ain't like that.
Every other mafia movie I've ever seen, everybody ends up 6 feet deep, so I don't know. Like, just to see people okay. sitting around all right. with well, a whole family. You put it like that. You know what I mean? Like, put it like that. I got a different perspective on things. So,
okay. I think The Wire from HBO is probably the best. Sopranos is pretty good, but I think this might have, well, shit. No, this definitely has more drama than Sopranos, and the drama in this has more weight to it. So, I've got to put this in the top five of HBO shows that have ever been made, probably within the top three or four. Oz was good for a little bit, but I really couldn't get into it like I got into Sopranos or The Wire. Honestly, The Wire is probably the best show that HBO has ever done. And see, you brought up shows that I had even forgotten about that HBO did. Veep is excellent. I love Veep. Like, that show is really funny to me. But the Game of Thrones, for the simple fact that it's on its seventh season and still can keep you encapsulated and just keep you enamored with it, you know, that just shows how good the writing is, how good the acting is, how good the action is.
I say one thing, Sex and the City is one of HBO's best shows too. It's enjoyable. I watched it. The movies did huge numbers. You know, of course, it's slated from a different point of view, whatnot, but it's still a great show. And it was a great HBO show. You talk about the sustainability. I think that's kind of what you're alluding to, being Game of Thrones going over seven seasons. This last episode, I mean, after that first night, they said like 16.1 million people had watched it. But when I think about, like, if it was just first seasons matched up, I know True Detective's first season has to be up there. With McConaughey and, you know what I mean, Woody Harrelson. That's a great one. I really enjoyed True Blood. That's another, like, these are honorable mentions, though, I'm throwing out there. HBO has done a great job with their series. I'm a personal fan of Carnival. I'm not going to put that up there with it, but Westworld. But they're not Ledger, Eastbound and Down sits well with me. I'm a big fan of Big Love too.
Yeah, but
I'm mentioning the ones that I really like. But there is one that I think that could rival
what
this, and that is, people forget, but it was iconic. It was excellent, and literally it changed every week, every time you saw it, and that is Tales from the Crypt.
Okay, well. All right, that's
cool. I'm just trying to make Turbo City angry at this point, y'all.
Yeah, I see. Because Tales from the Crypt, man, I haven't watched that shit since I was like 15. So,
hey, man, that was right up there with real sex.
Yeah. Nah, yeah, well, I can't argue with you on that. But look, you bring up Sex in the City. Sex in the City was cool, but
I actually got to put that in my top five. Actually, Sex in the City was that good. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but when I watch it now,
well, I will say this though. We talk. That's what makes Game of Thrones so good. Like, I'm saying my top five because like that's the one that was sliding there at the fifth spot because they had like so the first I'd say three or four seasons were good, but then for as long as that show lasted on. They had peaks and valleys where, you know, like...
It's man,
like,
look. Sex and the City had a formula. And they exploited that formula for as long as they could until they couldn't anymore. Sex and the City was entertaining. I watched that shit, too, when I was a young dude.
Bradshaw Diaries are actually, like, very cool books. And, like, they're actually well-written. So, like, that's why they had great source material. Kind of like the same, and that's why I bring it up with Game of Thrones. It's kind of you have a correlation there.
I hear you on that, man, but Game of Thrones is on a whole nother level of writing compared to Sex in the City, man. I'm not even putting that in the same atmosphere.
You might like the settings and things like that different, but the dialogue, the relationships between people, the dynamics that they have, the strife and everything that's built. I mean, I'm sorry, maybe it was set to high heels and, you know, like...
I have no problems. And martinis, I have no problems.
High heels and martinis in Manhattan, but you know what I mean? It might be a little easier in the stones.
I have no problems
in the thrones
women wearing
of,
high heels. I have no problems with that. That's not my issue with
I'm sorry that it wasn't in the thrones of King Landing, of Knight's Land, of King's Landing and Mead. You know what I mean?
Look, I have no problems with women in high heels and the whole, you know, Sex in the City thing. Bottom line is, most of that shit was bad advice. Second of all,
I think that's what made the show enjoyable, though. Like, to see, like, people take bad advice and bad decisions. It was bad decisions.
But to a lot of people, loving hip-hop is enjoyable. Doesn't mean that I gotta like it.
First of all, it's the context of time, too. Like, with a lot of these shows. Like, Sex in the City, there was nothing else like that when it came on. I'm not gonna sit here and cape for Sex and the City. I'm just sitting here talking
your
about
your cape is flapping in the wind for Sex and the City. Okay, come on, man. Go ahead.
I digress. I'm saying on the merits of a TV show, what they were doing at the time is comparable. You talk about a formula. I think that's where HBO got the formula and a reason to take a risk on a show like Game of Thrones. Because what other network would have did that? Based on the success of a Sex in the City, based on the success of an Entourage, based on the success of The Wire, they actually realized that they can keep branching out. What was the old HBO slogan? Breaking the Mold, or HBO is not
cable. Home box office.
No, the one that the sound goes with, the old HBO one from like the 80s when they first came on cable. It's not TV, it's HBO. And their whole slogan was built off the fact that they were going to give you a movie experience. So you're right, home box office. That was their whole slogan.
Quality over quantity. So, one issue I always had with Game of Thrones was that the seasons were too short.
Oh, maybe they could be produced on a CW for you.
Yeah, exactly. But what I realized after watching series on the CW was that sometimes quality supersedes quantity.
I need that 8-episode arc of Felicity Smoke doing her emo self from when she was younger, man. I need that.
Exactly.
Over 6 seasons, even into the 7th season of The Long Wait we talk about, they make you, they give you that feeling of wanting more. I mean, that's what show business is supposed to do. If you're on a stage, if you're anywhere as an entertainer, you know, it's the old Seinfeld episode with George. You know, you get the one good joke, you get out. Hey, you make a quality episode, even if it's only six. And we saw that with the BBC a lot. I mean, you think about Luther, three episodes, a lot of BBC shows. It's just, you know, like certain people, they have that and they make you want more. And it works. It works. I mean, for me with Game of Thrones, I'm glad to be back on the Game of Thrones bandwagon. But like, I did not feel it over the 18-month long wait period.
But see, it works on Game of Thrones because they let you know. They've only been giving you 12, 13 episodes at the most for the longest.
But they also move time. They move time.
Yeah.
And they did that from the first season on. Like, they move time the way they want to move time. It's not like these other shows where they have to have a static timeline from day to day to day.
Exactly. Exactly. Which is why Game of Thrones makes a good defense for just doing shorter and better episodes. So, like, I remember when The Flash came out and, you know, it was 22 episodes and I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, cool. After, like, episode 10, I'm like, am I going to get to something?
Episode 4 of the No Front Row Seats podcast will be Why Turbo City Hates the Flash. We will go in depth into why he hates my favorite show on the CW. But no, like, I understand what you mean. Like, you get that with a lot of shows. It feels like the writers are trying to justify getting extra checks at some point. It's just one of those things about TV. I don't hate on anybody making pursuing their like opportunity and like collecting those checks, but yeah, for me, you know, you're watching sometimes. That's the thing I love about books. You can read as many pages you want to in a night, or, you know, that's the original binge watching. You can read as much as you want to. With these TV shows, sometimes it's like anime. Actually, they do a filler episodes. You know what I mean? Like, and you're stuck, you know, watching something that you really don't enjoy, even though you still love the characters and the concept.
All right, well, since we're done ranting, let's give our, honest feelings about the upcoming season for Game of Thrones.
Oh, I think it's must watch. I think that this is one thing that I was trying to think of the term earlier. This series, Game of Thrones, actually holds up. You can go back and watch the old episodes and still enjoy it, and you definitely need to catch up. And the best thing Turbo City has been harping on, it's not like The Flash on the CW, even though I recommend you highly watch that. You can go back and catch up pretty quickly in six seasons because there's not that many episodes for Game of Thrones.
Oh, so you had to throw me under the bus like that.
I'm just giving people recommendations to watch The Flash and not be beleaguered by the fact that they have 22 great episodes featuring Iris.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if you have half a week available for watching The Flash, then I suggest you do that. But
it'll go by in a flash, I promise you that.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for joining the No Front Row Seats podcast. We just did a short little show for y'all, but we're glad you're here with us, and we hope you enjoy it.
Enjoy Game of Thrones. Get yourself a dire wolf. Maybe start up on Ark.
I got to say, thank you for joining us, and I hope you enjoyed this. I'm going to tell you why I don't do No Front Row Seats. It's because I'm old, and my eyes can't handle it, and that's why I sit in the middle now.
No Front Row Seats means if you're really going to enjoy a movie, that means don't get stuck in the front row. Enjoy yourself, and we will talk at you next time.